Thank you, Mr. Pavlik. And a wonderful good afternoon to everyone. How would you like to increase happiness and life satisfaction? Lower your stress level. Increase your perceived level of social support. Improve emotional resilience. That is your ability to cope with negative events and bounce back faster when bad things happen. How would you like to reduce symptoms of depression? Would you like to reduce pain and inflammation in your body? Lower your risk of heart disease. Improve your general health. Improve your sleep. Boost your productivity. If any of that sounds good, I have wonderful news for you. See this little yellow pill? Costs only pennies a day. This little yellow pill won't do any of that for you. It will increase the B vitamins in your system for just, you know, maybe 16, 18 hours, but that's about all it's good for. But for even less price, for free, you can have all of those psychological and physical benefits. And how can you do it? It's by increasing gratitude in your life. Increasing gratitude in your life. Surprisingly, in the last 2 decades, there have been hundreds to thousands of scientific research papers that have been published on the psychological and physical benefits of gratitude. It may sound strange that people would start researching that, but they have literally looked into it. I searched the Cleveland Public Library online card catalog system. It's no longer cards, it's electronic. But I searched under the subject title for, or shall we say, the subject category of gratitude. Popped up 387 books, audiobooks, and CDs in that one library system alone dealing with gratitude. Yes, gratitude has been extensively studied, and it can provide all of those psychological and physical benefits that I mentioned to you earlier, and even more. So doesn't it make you think, maybe we should have more gratitude in our lives? In fact, in order to do that, we need to develop an attitude of gratitude. And that's what we'll talk about for the rest of this message. In this message, I'm going to first explore and explain the meaning of gratitude. Then we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about gratitude. Then we're going to explore several strategies for building and strengthening gratitude in our lives. And finally, we're going to examine a few obstacles to gratitude, or what could be called gratitude killers. So let's start off by first asking, what is gratitude? Well, we probably all pretty much know. You have a sense of what you think gratitude is. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines gratitude as this: the state of being grateful. Thanks a lot. That's really, really helpful. Or thankfulness. Okay, so the dictionary definition, technically accurate, but not all that helpful. What we really need is a practical understanding of gratitude. This is called the COGWA Equip and Inspire program, which is available on the Life, Hope, and Truth website. It's used to assist parents in training their young people, their children. This system describes gratitude as showing appreciation by choosing attitudes and actions of thankfulness in all circumstances. I'll read that one again. Showing appreciation by choosing attitudes and actions of thankfulness in all circumstances. Try this next variation on for size. See what you think of this one. A strong feeling of appreciation to someone or something for what the other has done for you. Now, the next one is not necessarily a definition, but it's a practical application of the concept of gratitude. Gratitude is the recognition that life owes you nothing, yet provided you with everything you have anyway. A place to live, family, friends, food, work, your eyesight, your breath, indeed, your very life. According to Richard Emmons, PhD, who is one of the leading scientific researchers on gratitude, a key component of gratitude is recognition that the source of benevolence comes from outside yourself, that other people or higher powers, and we would focus on higher powers, have provided you with what he refers to as gifts. We all know what a gift is. When you receive a gift, it's a wonderful thing. According to Dr. Emmons, gratitude is a relationship-strengthening emotion because it requires us to see how we've been supported and affirmed by other people. And to his statement, I will add that we've been supported and affirmed by the loving kindness of our Father in heaven. Emmons continues, when you start seeing everything as a gift opposed to things you deserve, your sense of gratitude will begin to swell. So now that we've got a concept, a practical working knowledge of gratitude, let's examine what the Bible says about gratitude. Now, there are so many scriptures that I could have turned to. We can only hit a sampling of them. But I think these will be helpful. And we can recognize by looking to our example, Jesus Christ, who in his physical life set the example for us of how we can live successfully and live a proper life in service to God. He gave thanks. In the one miracle that's recorded in the Gospels, and it shows up in all four Gospels, it's the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Let's take a look at one version of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Matthew chapter 15, verses 34 through 37. Matthew 15, verses 34 through 37. Now, a multitude was there. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, that's to his disciples, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven, and a few little fishes." So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. We'll stop reading there. But the point was, in working a miracle, the first thing Jesus did was to give thanks for what he had. It didn't seem like much. With a multitude, there was only seven loaves and a few fish. But he gave thanks for what he had, and he worked a miracle through the power of God. In another instance of a miracle, we're very familiar with the death of Lazarus and Jesus resurrecting Lazarus. So let's take a look at how he dealt with that in John chapter 11 and verse 41. John 11, 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." So as he's getting ready to perform the miracle, the first thing he does is he thanks the Father. He shows gratitude that he's got the Father behind him, that the Father hears, and that the Father fulfills his plan. A great example of Jesus giving thanks and showing gratitude. In another example, as he faced imminent death, less than 24 hours from being tortured and put to death, he showed gratitude. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22 and read verses 14 through 19. That's Luke 22, 14 through 19. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you, or given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So facing imminent death, facing torture, he still gave thanks. He was grateful for this opportunity because, it, as we saw in verse 15, he says, "With fervent desire, I have really, really longed for this occasion." That's an example of a different way of thinking. Even though he was giving up his life, it was for the benefit of all mankind. It was for the fulfilling of God's purpose. And for that, he was grateful. The Apostle Paul's writings are filled with expressions of gratitude. There are so many that I only selected one as an example. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16, we'll see an example of Paul showing his gratitude. Ephesians 1, 15 through 16. "Therefore, I also heard, or after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul says, "I have gratitude for your Christian growth, for the faith that you have shown." And he wrote about that. And he, if you were to research the word thanks, thankful, or thanksgiving in the writings of the Apostle Paul, you will find dozens of examples similarly, where he writes to congregations and says, "I'm thankful for you. Whenever I think of you, I give thanks." Paul was a grateful individual, and he set us a great example. And he also gave us some instructions for our benefit, how we can focus on gratitude. We're still in the book of Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he tells us, look, your attitude should be this. You should be giving thanks always and for everything. That's kind of an expansive view of how much gratitude we ought to have, and we show it to God. There's something similar he wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And there he says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is what God wants you to do. He wants us to develop this attitude of being grateful, of giving thanks for everything. So we need to be grateful. We need to be giving thanks for all the blessings God gives. And after all, why shouldn't we? Because as we're told in the book of Psalms, we are loaded with God's benefits. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 68 and verse 19. Psalm 68, 19. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits." the God of our salvation, loads us with benefits. Look at yourself as a little pack mule. You've got this little back frame on your back, and you are loaded to the gills with benefits. That's what He does for us. And if we have that attitude, we give thanks to Him. We bless the name of the Eternal, who daily loads us with benefits. Let's go to Psalm 136. We'll read verses 1 through 3. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Eternal, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. Now verses 23 through 26. Who remembered us in our lowly state, for His mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies, for His mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. As part of your homework assignment, read all of Psalm 136 in the next few days to see all of the things God does and why we should be praising Him and giving thanks to Him and being grateful to Him. All right, so we've seen sampling of biblical scriptures referring to the concept of gratitude and thankfulness. So now let's move on to the next part of the message. Here's some strategies to build and strengthen gratitude. Strategies to build and strengthen gratitude. Now there are many, many strategies. I'm only going to give you a few. You know, I mentioned there are 387 books that you could check out of the Cleveland Public Library system on gratitude. There has been much ink spilled to give us information of how we can improve gratitude. So I can only select a few of them to help you. But I hope some of these will be helpful to you. Strategy number one, keep a gratitude journal. A little book, if you will, in which you regularly write things you're thankful for. You need to make a habit. It can be a habit at the end of the day before you go to bed, or possibly a habit early in the morning before life sort of gets going out of first gear into second gear and third gear, and then you get so busy you don't have time to do it. The benefit of having a gratitude journal is it makes you focus and think, what are my blessings? What am I thankful for? And by the act of practicing this focus, looking for benefits in your life and recognizing them, big or small, and don't ignore the small, those can help you strengthen this whole concept, that you're sort of your gratitude muscle, if you will. You'll get better at it. One of the things to think about as you start focusing on what would you put in your gratitude journal, think about the blessings God provides for you, but also think about the benefits you receive from other people. You may not think about your, let's say, somebody who works at the water plant. You may never know them. You may never know him or her or all of their coworkers. But guess what? You can turn the faucet on your faucet handle, you get fresh water. You are getting a benefit. There are lots of things that people do for us. Think about all the things that others do for you and write them down. Strategy number two, develop the habit of expressing your gratitude. Develop the habit of expressing your gratitude. We spoke about life being full of gifts. Well, you may appreciate receiving a gift, but if you don't express your appreciation, appreciation will not ripen into gratitude. We have a biblical example of that as well. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. We'll read verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, this is referring to Jesus, of course, that he passed through in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. There he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers and who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his, Jesus's, feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." 10 were healed. Don't you think that if you had leprosy and you were miraculously healed, you would appreciate it? But only in one did that appreciation ripen into genuine gratitude, the kind of gratitude that expresses your appreciation and your thanks for the gift that was received. William Arthur Ward is quoted as saying this, or writing this: "Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it." So, in your prayers, be sure to express your thanks and gratitude to God for all your blessings. And here's one for your fellow man. Write thank you notes or letters for kind acts or gift you receive from others, or just simply to express gratitude for someone being in your life. Strategy number 3. Pray for God's help to have a thankful attitude. Pray for God's help to have a thankful attitude. Mr. Patchinger was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit can assist us, but we are also told we are to stir it up. And one way we can stir up the Holy Spirit is to ask God to help us develop this attitude of gratitude. And when we do it in our prayers and make it a regular point of asking God to help us develop a thankful attitude, that is going to improve the likelihood that you are going to develop a thankful attitude. And then you will start using the strategies I've already mentioned, and possibly some of the ones that you're going to still hear of. Strategy number 4. Embrace the idea of having enough. Got the air quotes around enough. Embrace the idea of having enough. Dissatisfaction with your current circumstances and always feeling like you need more produces a great deal of stress and unhappiness in our lives, and you can see it everywhere you look. People are unhappy. People are motivated by advertisement. People are buying things that they don't need. because they simply think it's going to make them happy. But if you recognize that what you've got, if you're grateful for it, it's enough, you will develop gratitude. You will find a feeling of peace and calm and serenity and thankfulness that hopefully you will express to our Heavenly Father for all of the gifts you have. Now, having said that, this doesn't mean that you don't make plans to improve your situation. Because we all can do that. Sometimes life takes us to a level where we really don't have very much. Or we might get knocked down. So yes, you can plan and make a strategy to improve life circumstances. But we still need to be willing to accept what we have now as enough. Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. This was written by Paul, and we don't have time to turn there, but just think about Paul's history. Shipwrecked twice, stoned multiple times, beaten, threatened, hungry, cold, naked, you name it. He went through bad times. Aha! I know what you were thinking, because I almost said it, but I didn't. But still, that man who went through rough times that none of us have experienced writes, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul says, no matter whether it's the good times or the bad times, I learned I have enough. And with that, I'm content. Author Melody Beatty wrote this: "Gratitude turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow." Now, the next statement I'm going to make may sound slightly shocking because it is a Buddhist proverb. I don't ever remember giving or maybe even hearing a Buddhist proverb in a message in the Church of God. But when I read this one, I thought, yeah, right. This one has actually got something with it. And it goes like this: enough is a feast. Think about that. Enough is a feast. When you think that what you've got is enough, it's party time. You're doing great. Gratitude grows and swells. So yeah, even occasionally the Buddhists may have something that can benefit us. Strategy number 5. Acknowledge useless goodness. Acknowledge useless goodness. Now that may sound just a little strange. I'll quote Dr. Emmons again. "A way to flex your gratitude muscle when life events leave you uninspired is to identify and express gratitude for seemingly useless or insignificant things. It could be a delightful scent in the air, the color of a flower, your child's freckles, or the curvature of a stone. Over time, you'll find that doing this will really hone your ability to identify good things in your life. And isn't that how we develop gratitude? We see the good things in our life, and then we express thanks for them to our Father or to fellow man who's presented those gifts and those small things to us that make our lives so much better. And when you start noticing the small things in life, it's like going from a black and white movie to color movie with cinematic screen instead of some tinny little sound coming out of a cell phone. You get this masterful symphony of beauty around you. So those are some of the strategies that you might implement to build upon and strengthen gratitude in your life. Our next segment deals with obstacles to gratitude, or what could be referred to as gratitude killers. And there are a lot of those as well. So many, I can only hit on a few, but let's get to a few of them. And the interesting thing is some of these gratitude killers are basically the mirror image of strategies to improve gratitude. You may see that it's either like that or the flip side of a coin, gratitude and ingratitude. One of the first gratitude killers is taking things for granted. Taking things for granted. I'm going to paraphrase what Dr. Emmons has written, and it goes something like this. Recognize that if we fail to choose gratitude, by default, we choose ingratitude. There's no in between. We either choose gratitude, or if we don't, by default, we choose ingratitude. Millions make this choice every day. Why? Provisions of needs or wants, whether supernatural or natural, becomes so commonplace that it's easily accepted and taken for granted. That is a trap. That is a gratitude killer when you no longer have the ability to see the gifts in your life. Gratitude killer number two. Failure to recognize the richness of what you already have. Failure to recognize the richness of what you already had or you already have. And in that one, you may recognize the mirror image of having enough. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. We'll read verses 12 and 15. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 and 15. And if you're familiar with your Bible, you may be thinking, well, this is kind of a strange place to go to talk about gratitude. Ezekiel 28. Because this is talking about Satan. Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. That was in a privileged place around the throne of heaven. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth amid the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Look at all Satan had. it wasn't enough. He ignored what he had. He thought he needed more. He no longer recognized all he had. We don't want to be like Satan. We simply must not allow that gratitude killer into our lives. Gratitude killer number 4, excessive materialism. Excessive materialism. I mentioned before, advertising. The whole point of advertising is to say, your life is really pretty miserable, but if you will buy this soap powder, this shampoo, this car, this potato peeler, your life will be nirvana. It ain't true. It's not true. But that's what advertising is there for. And if we fall into this trap of stuff, we can lose sight of gratitude. Life is not about stuff. Paul warns us in Colossians 3:2. We won't turn there because it's very short. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Things of the earth are stuff. They're temporary. Our focus has to be different. Our focus has to be lifted beyond the plane of this earth, this planet, not about the stuff of physical life, and we have to be looking eternally. We look upward. We are called to have a spiritual outlook, and our lives are not made up of stuff. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 9. Paul instructs Timothy, now godliness with contentment is great gain. It's interesting that this word contentment comes in his instruction to Timothy, because as we saw previously, Paul wrote, in all circumstances, I've learned to become content. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The stuff we get during this life is not going with us. It's not going to matter in the grand scope of eternity. And in verse 8, Paul continues, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. There's another echo of a mindset of having enough. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, an echo of materialism, and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So excessive materialism is a pitfall. It is a gratitude killer. And for Christians, it's important to remember, this life is not about the stuff. Gratitude killer number 5. Suffering. Suffering. According to author Karen Purvis, suffering is both a rich source for deepening gratitude or a poison for undermining it. She writes, oftentimes gratitude blooms and blossoms from the barrenness of suffering. But suffering becomes a poison when the person loses sight of everything apart from their pain. all of us have experienced some degree of suffering. And we know many people who suffer far worse than anything any of us experience. It's important to realize that, like many spiritual principles, it can be a double-edged sword. It can be a bad thing. It can be a gratitude killer. But even used properly, suffering can be a spiritual benefit. If we draw upon the strength that God is able to provide for us to strengthen us spiritually. So suffering can be a gratitude killer, but it does not have to be so. Even in suffering, we can develop gratitude. I previously mentioned the Apostle Paul. I spent 3 years shipboard in the U.S. Coast Guard, more than 3 years. There were times where I was a little bit concerned for my safety and the safety of my ship, but I was never shipwrecked. Paul was shipwrecked twice, but he writes, even though I was shipwrecked, I was beaten. He was left for dead. He was beaten so bad, the crowd left him because they thought he was dead. And so what does he do? He gets up, walks 20 miles to the next city, and he continues preaching. That is the kind of suffering we've never been through. Very few of us have been seriously, seriously hungry. Some people are. But still, Paul was. In all things, I can be content. Paul did not allow his suffering to be a poison of his soul. He allowed it to blossom into gratitude. A wonderful example for us. Obstacle to gratitude number 6. Busyness. Busyness. An inability to see what you already have because you're continually focused on what has to be done next. It is so easy to get caught up in the demands of this physical life. We truly have to make time to set aside, to slow down, and smell the roses physically, and smell the roses spiritually as well. We have to take time from busy schedules to pray, at which time we can implement one of those strategies I mentioned, pray for help in developing an attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude. We need to slow down because busyness can overwhelm us to the point where we don't get a chance to actually see what's around us. You don't see the blessings. You don't recognize them for the gifts that they are, and busyness can be a gratitude killer. So we're going to end with a final scripture. If you kept your Bible open, you should be in Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 1 through 2. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 2. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unthankful. Let's stress that one. This is a warning. This was a warning Paul gave to Timothy. It's a warning that was preserved for us. We could be living in the last times. We may believe we're in the last times, and we may indeed be in the last times. It's going to take some time for that to find out, for us to know for sure. But the warning is, in these times, it's going to be difficult. And one of the things that we might face and that might be a problem even for us in the church is unthankfulness. I'm going to go Greek on you here, so buckle your seatbelts. That word unthankfulness in verse 2 comes from the Greek word akaristos. I don't know, it's Greek to me. Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament words defines that akaristos denotes ungrateful, thankless, and it comes from the root word charis, which means thanks. Interesting thing is at least 17 Bible versions translate that Greek word akaristos as ungrateful instead of unthankful, like the New King James. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will become ungrateful. Since we're living in the last times, we need to take that warning seriously. So we've seen, through the course of this message, a better understanding of what it is to be grateful. We've examined several verses of the Bible that expand on the concept of gratefulness, gratitude, and thankfulness. We've looked at several strategies for building and strengthening gratitude in our lives, and we've identified some obstacles or some gratitude killers that certainly must not be in our lives. So as we conclude, I'd like to encourage you to take up the challenge of implementing some strategies for building and strengthening gratitude and avoiding the trap of gratitude killers, and develop an attitude of gratitude.